Shalom Aleichem, Mishnah Yuma continues for Yud Tes. In Elul, we're in chapter 2 of Ta'anit, Mishnah Yud. Ein gozrin Ta'anit al tzibur b'rosh chodesh. We don't start a series of fasts or a fast day on a Rosh Chodesh, on the first day of the month, which is somewhat of a celebratory day. There's a musaf, it's nice. V'chanukah v'purim, or on Chanukah and Purim, which we mentioned yesterday, are the survivors of Megillat Ta'anit, the special celebrated days, or we don't want to fast or eulogize. Im hitchilu, if they had begun, meaning the community had already started a series of fasts. Remember, there are three fasts, then seven fasts if things don't get better. So they'd already started, say, a week before Rosh Chodesh, and they did a Monday, and then they did a Thursday, and then the next Monday, when they're supposed to be fasting, that's Rosh Chodesh, they could continue. Ein mafsikin. They don't interrupt this series of fasts. Dibei Rabban Gamliel. That's according to Rabban Gamliel. And the Bartner explains here that they didn't realize, it wasn't really on their mind, that when they started this series of Bahab, this series of three fasts or seven fasts, that one of them was going to fall on a Hanukkah or a Purim or Rosh Chodesh. They weren't really thinking about that. They were, of course, concerned with getting rainfall. Amar Rabbi Meir, adds, Afal pi, even though Sh'amar Rabban Gamliel ain mafsikin. Rabban Gamliel said, if one of these fast days in the series, not the first one, but a later one, falls on a day you're not supposed to fast, you know, you still fast anyway, you don't interrupt the series of fasts, but mode haya, he was in agreement, shein mashlimin, that we don't finish the fast, we don't fast the entire day, a concept we saw by the Kohanim, the priests on duty in the temple, they need to keep their strength up, so they wouldn't necessarily fast the entire day. Vechen, and the same rule applies, Tisha B'Av, on a Tisha B'Av, when we mourn the destruction of both temples and other calamities, Shechal Liot Be'erev Shabbat, when it falls on a Friday, even though it's a very intense day of mourning and fasting, it's a 24-hour fast, but if it's on a Friday, we wouldn't complete the fast. We would actually break our fast a little bit before Shabbos, obviously not to indulge, but so we don't go into Shabbos in a miserable, sorry state. Now, in our current calendar, which is not based on witnesses reporting the sighting of the moon, the way our calendar is set up is that Tisha B'Av can be on a Shabbos, in which case we don't fast at all, we eat normally, but it can never fall on a Friday with the set calendar as we have it today. Mazel Tov, let's start Perek Gimel, the third chapter, Seder Taniyot Elu Ha'amor, the order of the fast, the sequences that we've talked about in chapter 1. Recall there was a Bahab, a series of three fasts, Monday, Thursday, Monday, and they weren't full day fasts. They were daytime, but not the preceding nights. And then the next three got more stringent, and the final seven even more stringent. They would lock the bathhouses and everything like this. So this sequence where things start not so stringent and become more stringent, when does that apply? The Mishnah explains, Berevia Rishona. That's the first rainfall of the season. Revia is the early rainfall, the rainfall that the crops grow on. The idea here being that if the rain is merely delayed, okay, it's delayed a week or two or three or four, so let's start fasting and praying and examining the community and looking for ways to change and improve, so we merit getting the rain. But if the rain is delayed, the crops are still going to grow and we're still going to be okay. There's probably, God willing, still something in the pantry. Now the Mishnah draws a contrast, aval, but what happens about tzmochim sheshanu? The plants came up, but they're abnormal, they're mutated, they're not bearing seeds, they're withering away, you know, there's some sort of blight, there's some sort of abnormalities. This is not just a delay in this season's crop, it's a destruction, God forbid, of that season's crop. Matriin aleihem miyad. We blow trua, meaning we pull out the shofar right away. And they would usually pull out the shofar in the most stringent type of fasts, the series of seven fasts. So we would go immediately to the most stringent fast because this isn't merely a delay in parnasa, in food supply. This is a danger of losing the entire season's harvest. V'chein, and similarly, we would go to the stringent extreme, sheposku gishamim, if the rain stopped entirely, bein geshem lebeish geshem arbayim yom. It had rained 40 days ago, and it didn't rain again for an entire 40 days. It's time to pull out the shofar and start fasting and praying. So matrin aleihem miyad, the Mishnah says, yes, we pull out the shofar, we go to the most stringent all-day fasts with all the stringencies, mipnei shehi makat betzoret, because this is an affliction which causes a shortage, a famine. Basically, some rain fell, so the crops came out of the ground, but if there's no follow-up rain within 40 days, there's going to be a significant problem. It's going to wither away. They're all going to die, God forbid, and then they're not going to have a food supply. On the deeper level, Torah is compared to water. It's, you know, we need it to live. We need a constant influx. If someone, God forbid, didn't learn Torah for 40 days, they'd probably wither up, spiritually wither up. But it's a lesson that we're learning Mishnayot. We're going through them very quickly. So when we have the chance, maybe a Yom Tov, maybe on Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, we could learn the Mishnayot of Rosh Hashanah. Maybe the day after, on the fast of Gedaliah, we could study, review some of the Mishnayot from Tainit. And so too on Sukkos, during Sukkos, maybe we should learn the Mishnayot of Sukkos. We should keep the water, the flow of Torah, coming into our souls to keep them properly irrigated and growing, God willing. Be well, and Mazel Tov.